Thank you. Hello, everyone. It's been interesting, really, really wonderful, hasn't it, just being here today and just hearing what God is saying to us, through all of us. Beloved Akin, thank you, Akin. We really appreciate that life that comes from you, the life of Jesus. And it's been also, I think, really good to hear that, you know, what God has given me, God's speaking to all of us. So that's, so praise his name. That's wonderful. Last night, John and I watched The Shack. Have you guys watched The Shack? It's quite remarkable, isn't it? In its depiction of truth, I think, in a way that we would not normally receive it, and what I loved was the way it depicted the joy of the Lord in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Absolute unity, absolute joy, absolute grace and goodness and healing and all the strength. That was, it's just beautiful. If you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. See if you can see it. And so that was a great blessing. I feel as if the Lord wants me to talk about something that it's almost a bit like bringing coals to Newcastle in a way, because I know that all of us know the Word of God. I know that. But somehow, he's coming back to me again and saying, talk again. So some of these things, I think, will be stuff we know, but I think God just wants to shift a bit and remind us again, and maybe a bit of light and for all of us. And so I'm going to go over some foundational things, but with the present light that God is giving to us. So we know, for instance, that we know that the Word of God, I just want to say something else actually while I'm thinking of it. I'm going to be helping our daughter, one of our daughters, Laura, to homeschool their girls. She's already been doing it for a little while, and I'm just giving her a hand while the little baby is so little and it's a bit difficult. So something that we plan to do is to have a start the morning with a little devotion every day in a way that's suitable for them, you know, and also to learn a little bit of scripture every week. And Laura was saying, you know, she said, Mom, when I was at Sunday school, we were told to learn the scripture, and nobody ever did. And I said, yeah, probably that's the case in a lot of times when, you know, you're sent off with a word to learn when you're little, and you never do, you know, the next time you come back and you haven't done it. But nevertheless, the Word of God, if you took everything else away from the school day, the Word of God would be the most important thing that you would never take away. And even that, you know, a few lines of scripture every week, learning, depositing, plays out as time goes on. So this is how I got to be sort of really geared onto the Word of God, and he started to speak to me about what it is. You know, we know that the Word of God is the written word. We know that. And he's also Jesus. He is the Word of God. And also we know that some people question the authority, the authenticity of the word. You know, how can it be that men who are infallible can write a fallible, men who are fallible can write an infallible, you know, scripture? But we know for sure that God says all scripture is inspired by God. But it also says in, I think it's in Psalm 12:6, that the word is like a furnace. It's like a furnace, and it refines the word seven times. And the furnace of clay is, you know, the person who might bring the word. And we are the ones who are fallible. We are the ones who just walk and we live and God has to correct us and, you know, encourage us and all the rest of it. But also the fact is that the fire, the Holy Spirit, purifies the word like silver. And it's purified, it says in that psalm, seven times. So the word of God that we have written has been purified seven times, in as much as there are layers, aren't there? There are layers in the word of God. You can read it at a layer, and it's good. And it's just good. But then you come again to that same word, and you read it at another layer, and it's better. And then you read it at another layer, and it's even better. And every time, it's unfolding, because that's how the Spirit of God works with his word. And Jesus, we know, said that he did not come to do away with any part of the word, not the law or the prophets, but that he came to fulfill them. And so the entire counsel of God is what God wants us to focus on, not just little portions of scripture. And so, you know, why? You might say, well, why does God want, it sounds obvious, but why would God want us to be so immersed in his word? Many reasons. One of them is that it reveals the character and nature of God. And people who perhaps either just dip in or out, or who are just reading in a light way, or just not reading at all, skipping here, don't get the full picture of the character of God. Now, none of us know the full picture of the character of God, okay? It's an ongoing process. We're learning. We're learning about him all the time. But if we don't know our God, if we don't know who he is, when something comes our way, how do we know whether it's the authentic God or not the authentic God? You know, I think the thing that God wants us to know today is that we need to know the Word of God. Not in an intellectual way, yes, in an intellectual way, of course, but we need to know him. We need to know his ways and his character, because there is a huge increase. I mean, it has been coming for a few years, it's been increased. But I find this year, maybe last year, there's this massive, giant step forward into deception. Deception is just rife across this nation and the nations. And if we do not know the Word of God, if we do not know the character and the nature of God, we will be deceived. And I don't think my message is going to be long, guys, but I just feel God is encouraging all of us, and that we encourage other believers to really know Jesus. I mean, we've had this morning, haven't we? We need to not just know about him, but to know him. And we do that by connecting with him in worship and through his word. If you think about it, We also need the word so that when we go through real tough times and trials, God speaks, doesn't he? He speaks to our hearts. He speaks, for the most part, through the word. That's right, isn't it? And if we're not in there, if we're not reading, if we're not immersed, it's like having your phone switched off and you say, well, nobody ever contacts me. Nobody speaks to me. Nobody sends messages to me. But your phone's off. You know what I'm saying? You've got to connect. You've got to be there and make sure that there's this open line. It may start off as a discipline, but it ends up as pure joy, doesn't it? Just to have your heart warmed once again by the Spirit of the Lord. And in that, being immersed in the word, as we walk, we find that not only do we read the word, but the word reads us.
Yes.
It reads us, and it highlights stuff that we thought, oops, okay, you know, this is something that needs sorting, and God constantly washes us with his word. Better to be washed now than to stand before him unwashed. Not that we've lost our salvation, but we're unwashed. Let's be washed now. As painful as it may be, as hard as it may be, better to be washed now. The word of God continually washing us, cleansing us. The blood delivers us, we know that, but the word washes us. And we need to allow the word, and if we're not in the word, it can't do its job. And another thing, just as another thing, okay. God has spoken to all of us and given us promises, hasn't he? Little words of encouragement, words of vision for our future. Now, we know for sure that when God does that, the next step is the enemy says, are you sure that was God? You sure about that? You know, and it's his prime tactic, isn't it? I mean, I reckon we know that. It's his prime tactic. He says, oh, well, I think it was, you know, I hope it was. And eventually, that word that seems so bright and shiny at the beginning, you start to doubt. And because the enemy keeps putting these ifs and what ifs and buts and all this stuff in, and it gets duller and duller, doesn't it? And then unbelief sets in. And then you're just back to square one, really, you know? I thought God said that, but I was obviously wrong. And that's the time when we've got to come and repent before God, ask him once again, Lord, you know, I've let your word slip. I've let that power. Because, you know, when Jesus was taken after his baptism into the desert, it said he was led into the desert. But the power of God was upon him when he came out. And it's the same for all of us. We have to learn. And it's learning, isn't it? There's no easy way. We have to learn to withstand the voice of the enemy. If we don't, we just go around in circles, don't we? Go round and round in circles. So we have to, at some stage in our lives, we've got to say, actually, no, we're not going to listen to this voice anymore. God has said it, and I believe it was God. It came from him, and it's God, and we can start to worship God in that word. Because the enemy, when the sword is actually, you know, if we can say that God told me, and this is what the word he said, and when the sword is pointed at the enemy, he backs off. But we need to know that we need to point that sword with determination. If it's a half-hearted little wiggle, it's not going to do the job. It has to be settled in your heart and mind. This is what God said. This is my inheritance. I'm going for it. Amen. And you don't stop. You don't stop. We all have our little dips, don't we? Okay, that's fine to have a little dip. We have our dips. But pick up and focus again and keep going. And keep declaring that word that is power and life and has the power to change us and our circumstances. God's timing is God's timing. That's not for us. God's timing is there. But we keep declaring his word. And the reason we surround ourselves with the word is that it brings faith. That's what the word of God says, isn't it? That what does it say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we hear it, and when that word hear is that we receive it. It's not just a sort of random, I'm listening, but we receive it, we hear it, and we hold on to it, and we speak it, and we sing it, and we pray it, then it is faith, it comes up, and hope. This was such a beautiful prayer you prayed. I love that thing, because it's true. It's true what you said, that hope, you know, it's easy to lose hope. When faith is almost rock bottom, we lose hope, don't we? Hope and faith are like, you know, walk together hand in hand. And the thing is that we need hope and we need faith, and the two work together to envision us and to keep us going forward. We need encouragement. We all need to be encouraging each other, as I believe we do in this in this fellowship, and we keep encouraging, saying, keep hope, keep faith, keep going, because this is God. So don't back off and don't allow the enemy to steal. Remember, he comes to kill the hope, steal the faith, and just snatch it away. Don't allow him to do it. We need to keep going and keep holding on to what God has said to us. You know, I used to consider when it said, you know, without faith, you can't please God. It sounded like a heavy thing to me. It sounded like I had to really do something. It sounded like it was quite a backpack to carry, you know. I must have faith. I must have faith. But I don't believe it's like that anymore. All faith is really is a yes, Lord. It's just an agreement, isn't it? It's easy to come into agreement. We just, God says this. Yes, Lord, I agree with that. Yeah. That's faith, isn't it? That's faith. It's not a big deal that, you know, there's a huge difference between rebellion, determined rebellion, and just a little bit of wavering because we're human. And we need to recognize that. We need to know that God does not look upon us with a frown on his face. He does not. His heart, his face, his arms are open and smiling on us. And I love that thing about the awe, having awe, but knowing him as daddy, because the two definitely go together. I think what God has been doing in my life this year, more than any other time, is knowing him as daddy. Because I was a bit over the top with the awe bit. You know, and I needed to, yes, and always what we need, okay? We need to know. Because when the enemy comes with a knife to try and kill us, and God's given us a promise, and he's trying to kill that promise, it's very good to be in awe of God. It's very good to stand back and say, this creator of the universe, this mighty God, the one who holds the oceans in the palm of his hand, the one who the nations are like a drop in the bucket to him, this same God has spoken to me. And that, for me, gives me real encouragement and confidence. And at the same time, you can say, thank you, Abba. Thank you, Abba. You have given me your word. You have spoken to me. And I know that you will fulfill what you have done. It's both, isn't it? And one without the other is not balanced. We need the two together. For our good, as well as just to honor God, just to honor him, and it's good to sometimes just think of him in the macro, you know? Just think of this mighty God. It's indescribable, isn't it? Remember that? It's like indescribable. There's a whole, by the way, for children, not that you will be interested, but for children, there's this whole beautiful study on indescribable, on how bringing this magnificent God, amazing God. And it's written by Louis Giglio, you know, the guy who, it's written by him, but it's geared as a study for children. And it just declares the greatness of God. And it's so beautiful. And I think we all need to often think of the greatness of God. Otherwise, we get smaller and smaller in our thinking. We need to daily think of the greatness of God, how good you are in your greatness, you know, sustaining the universe, creating all these things, holding the nations. Remember, he's the one who is in control of the nations. God's the one who's sorting out Brexit. You know that? It's according to his will. We need to hear him and pray according to his will, but he's the one who's doing it. And in that real soaking in the might of our God, it is easy, relatively easy, to have faith for the things that we are contending for in our own hearts and lives. And of course, the thing is that it brings, the Word of God brings us illumination, because it says Jesus is light, and in him we are light. And his Word, the unfolding of his word, brings light. Isn't that lovely? I'm always amazed that step by step, God will unfold who He is, who we are, who He says we are, and unfold His plan. And you see, oh my goodness, this is wonderful. You know, it's a marvelous thing when God starts to reveal something and slowly unfold it. Now, education obviously is marvelous. It's good. Everyone's for education. But also, but education on its own doesn't bring light. It's not light. It doesn't bring light. Only God brings light. So we can know all the stuff that we need to know. We're way above what we know. But there are people we know who really, you know, intellectually are way up there, but they have no light. And so they walk in darkness. And God doesn't want anybody to walk in darkness. And really, above all else, it's walking in the knowledge of our God. He holds all knowledge. He is all knowledge. Isn't he? Truth is in Him. Something we've been challenged by, trying to sort things out for little children, is that we are very often, maybe it's just me, I don't know, very often obscured by a humanism. This is what we ought to do. And that way of education, I'm coming to realize, is not necessarily right. It's not necessarily right. There's a lot of good stuff, we know that for sure, good stuff in mainstream education that we need to take on board, absolutely right. But there's a lot of stuff that is slanted to the darkness. And we need to know that we can choose, and we have chosen, to put light. And if we start to step away from God and who He is and start to take on a humanistic slant, we're walking away from the light. And that's across everything, isn't it? The world wants to squash us into this humanism, this political correctness, this way, and unless God shows us, we don't realize we're there. We don't know that we're in a shadow, unless God shows us. And because it says, in His light, we see light. So if we are not allowing God to shine light, either in our own hearts or in circumstances, or look at the world through the light of God, we're actually tainted by darkness. There's only one light. There's only one truth. And we need to be able to really discern that truth and that light of God, and know that He will show us. If we are willing, you see, the difficulty with the Word of God is that some people take a little bit of it and twist it to what they want it to mean. And it's easy to do, because anybody can say anything and claim anything if they take one or two or even half a dozen scriptures here, there, and everywhere. But when you take the whole counsel of God, immersed in the character of God and His nature and His ways, then you can't do that. You have to say, this is wrong. Not because it's my opinion that it's wrong, but because the Word of God says it's wrong. Because we're all going to have our own opinion, aren't we? In all sorts of ways, and that's fine. But so it's not my opinion, but it's what God says. And I think the more we immerse ourselves in the Word of God, our opinions get pushed aside, if we're willing, gets pushed aside, and we just take on His heart, His mind, in an increasing way. So we know that God's word washes us, and it's a mirror. Doesn't it shows us our own hearts? It just shows us the reflection. If we're willing, I've come to the conclusion that if you're not willing, you're not willing. And that's it. If you're willing, sky's the limit. If you're willing to change, You're willing to go. You're willing for God to take you out of your comfort zone. You're willing to have your hard heart softened. If you're willing, God will meet you. God will empower you. God will go to the extreme lengths to take you along. If you're not willing, God still loves you. God will always love you. You haven't lost your salvation, but you miss out on so many, many things because God wants a willing heart. It says even as a giver, he wants a willing giver. If we're willing with God, even if we don't really want to, but we know we, you know, Lord, this is something I think I ought to do, but I really don't want to do it. But I'm willing, God, that you change me. If you're just willing to be changed, God will change you. But if you're rock set in a particular way, God leaves us. And many times, people spend many, many, many hours counseling people who do not want to change, have no desire to change. I don't say don't stop praying for them. I would just suggest stop counseling them until they're willing, until they're desperate and they're willing to change. Then by all means, let's continue. But there are too many people who are willing and want to spend so much time on people who are not willing and don't want to and have no intention of changing from their paths. The Word of God is like a fire and a hammer. So if we're willing, God sets his fire under those rocks in our hearts. We all have rocks, don't we? We all have those things. I'm going to hold on to this one. You know that, don't you? You feel that resistance, don't you? Do you feel that? Is it just me? You feel that God is saying something. Yes, God, yes, but there's a bit of a, I don't want to really. But the thing is that if we still say, God, even though I don't particularly want to do this thing or go this place, but I'm willing to change, then God puts the fire of his Holy Spirit under that rock. And it's there and it gets heated up. And then God comes in his time with the hammer of his word and he smacks it. And the rock disintegrates. God is powerful, isn't he? Yes. Mighty and powerful. His word is his word, his living word, Jesus, his written word is full of power for life. And if we're willing to be molded and yielded and go his way, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God, but he resists, or he doesn't resist. He does not impose. He does not impose his will on us. That's why we can just go. We want to go? Go. Hard though it is, I'm sure it breaks the Father's heart in many ways, but nevertheless, he is God and he respects our will. He's given it to us. He's not going to stump on it. He's not going to say, well, you're doing this and whether you want to or not. I believe God allows so much grace, and only God knows how much grace. We're not in a position to say, well, only that much grace and no more. You know, no, God knows. We keep praying, we keep committing, but it's God knows the time and God knows the way and the means to apply that hammer when it's needed and where it's needed. So really, you know, we can agree with Jesus to say, we live by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. We live. We may not realize that we do that, but we live. We live by that rhema word, that now word, that is light and life. And as we get a hold of it, that's what it is. It's light and life. And so our lives are shaped, actually. The direction of our lives are shaped by what he says to us and how we receive it and how we go with it. And so this word is mighty and powerful for life itself. And knowing God's word keeps us from the whole thing of, as I've mentioned earlier, really, of believing the stuff of the world, that fake news, you know, the fake news the enemy brings our way. God's word protects us from that if we're submitted to it. If we submitted to God's word, he can do all sorts of things. If we resist it, then he will go to where we're resisting, and he will still pour grace, and he'll still speak. But he knows when a will is determined against him. But as long as there is life, there is hope. There is hope that people will change and yield and go God's way. And that's for all of us, friends. It's, you know, we all, I think last week, didn't we? We were so blessed, weren't we, last weekend? But that whole thing of being yielded, it's the yieldedness of the heart, all of us, our hearts to God, is how he works, how he works. We resist, and God steps away a little bit. He doesn't go away. He just lets us there, okay? He's still working. His spirit is still working. The fire of God is still there. And then if we say, yes, God, more, off we go again. And then we might say, okay, that's it. And then he stops. You see how God is gracious in his working with us. Working, we are, what does it say? We are co-workers, aren't we? We are co-workers with the Spirit of God in this life. And that's as much as we allow him, he'll go that way. But he will not abuse our self-will. Amen.